Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. Sponsorship, defined as to provide funds for a project or activity to the person carrying it out. For as little as $75, your event or ministry could be placed right here in this slot. For $75, a feature episode sponsor will be a chapel preached by an IBC staff member and include promotions on IBC's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, a combined possible audience of over 85,000 individuals. At the $50 level, a four-week intro sponsor includes all of the episodes in a given month, excluding, of course, those featured episodes. And at the $25 level, the four-week outro sponsorship secures your 15-second spot after the week's content is delivered on the podcast. Each opportunity is charged with the possibility of helping spread your message to more people. Sponsorship is a simple and cost-effective way to promote your ministry or business. So if you're interested in partnering with us, we would love to partner with you in spreading your message. Today, on the Indiana Bible College podcast, we have Student Body Vice President Drew Maines preaching a message entitled, Wounded, But Not Defeated.
God has a word for somebody today. We've seen a lot of awesome things happen this year so far. It's only been a couple weeks. God's continuing to do great things. But I believe if we truly want to be rooted in the Word and built up in the right way, then there are some things we're going to have to let go of. The definition of a hemorrhage or hemorrhaging is to undergo heavy or uncontrollable bleeding. Can I tell somebody today, I'm tired of hemorrhaging and the young people today. I'm tired of friends I see backslide that I've grown up with. I'm tired of people giving up on their walk with God because we want to be rooted and built up in His Word. Matthew 12:29 says, or else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Because you see, if you're truly walking in the will of God, the only way the enemy can bind you is if you let him in. Job 19:28 says, but ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? But I come to preach encouragement today, because we read, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 2. If you've got it, say amen. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's encouragement today, folks. That's encouragement in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, because he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. iniquities. And I want to preach to you this topic today, or this, title it if you will, Wounded But Not Defeated. Wounded But Not Defeated. Thank you, Maddie. You guys can put your Bibles down and let's just pray for a minute that God would have his way in the rest of this service. God, I pray that you would have your way today. God, that your spirit and your presence that's here, we thank you for it, God. But we ask that you would continue to pour it out in this place. That you would touch every heart. That you would touch every mind. That we would not be discouraged but encouraged because, God, you paid the price for us. And God, let your will be done. Anoint these lips of clay and let me speak your word today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. He was wounded for our transgressions. How many people in this place have ever had any kind of surgery? Anybody have any kind of surgery? Hands up. Has anybody ever had a broken bone, maybe? Broken bones in here? All right, cool. Maybe just a scrape, maybe just a scratch. Anybody in here? All right, unfortunately, I fall under all three of those categories, but hey, that's all right. But it would be safe to say that just about everyone in this place has been wounded in some kind of physical way, right? I've had my fair share of injuries, as most of everybody knows in here. But just to give a brief synopsis of what has happened over the, if you haven't heard it already, you know, I like to tell these stories quite often. But if you haven't heard it, let me tell you about my freshman year here at IBC, all right? Because I'm telling you, if you're a freshman here, you're pretty, I mean, you're smart right off the bat, right? You're there. I mean, why else would you come here if you're not completely, I mean, you're just ready. You're not stupid. You're not going to do anything dumb, right? Well, I'm not one of those people. So on a fateful day in January of second semester, my freshman year, praise God, we had the great idea to go sledding, right? Harmless enough. But, you know, when you want to have a good time, you know, sledding's fun, but it could be a lot more fun, right? Right, Quincy? Right. Maybe if you just add a little something extra. So why would you not want to play human bowling? Why would you not want to? I mean, that sounds like a great time to me. I don't know about everybody else. But we decided to play human bowling. And it was my turn to be the ball. Don't know. I mean, maybe I resemble one. I don't really know. But it was my turn. So I came down the hill, all my friends at the bottom, great friends of mine, just so willing to be the pins for me to knock over. Great friends. But somebody got the idea in their mind, like, let's just stay still and really see how many of us he can knock over. Great idea. Smart. But I came down the hill, and unfortunately, you know, I like to joke about it, but rammed into a guy. He's no longer here. I won't slander his name in the mud. But ran into Calvin. He fell on me. And my head got hit pretty hard. My nose and face were busted. Not pretty at all. All the girls were traumatized for the rest of their life. But it was great for Valentine's Day banquet. Anyway. Immediately, I started, I mean, I don't really remember what happened, obviously. But I started seizing, and I couldn't really breathe. I was really unresponsive, and so they called 911, and they began to pray, because there's power in the name of Jesus, amen? They begin to pray, the ambulance gets there, they take me to the hospital, and when I got there, honestly, okay, when they first got there, I guess, I told them I was 14 years old, so... Or whatever. The age changes every time, but I said I was younger than I was. Anyway, I finally get to the hospital, but when I get there, I'm talking normally, I'm cracking jokes, having a good time, and the doctor's like, what's wrong with this kid? But I get an MRI, and I get some scans done, and you know, I like to joke about it, but the issue was pretty serious. The doctor came to me, and he said, son, you were brain dead for at least 3 to 4 seconds. He said, in most cases like this, he said, most people should have some kind of side effects. In fact, in most cases, there's a long period of time where these people aren't even able to speak. I believe God did a miracle that day. And this is just a side note, but we shouldn't be afraid of the supernatural, because God can still do a miracle. But he's going to do a miracle the right way when we're seeking after him, when we're seeking his face, when we know what he wants us to do, when we're seeking his direction. Because God's done some great things this year, and he's going to continue to do great things. But only if we are rooted, built up, established in the word of God. We talked about it in prayer the other day. Paul and John knew one thing, the power of the name of Jesus. And what did they say to that lame man who asked for silver and gold? All they said was, in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. And you know what that man did? He rose up and he walked, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 But unfortunately, my year didn't stop there. No, it didn't. You know, we like to play basketball around here. It's a fun thing, right? And one day we were playing basketball at a friend's house. Won't slander his name in the mud either, but Lincoln. And we were over at his house, and we were playing some basketball. And, you know, I'm not the best. You know, I got crossed up, I guess you could say. But my knee gave out. I was like, that's kind of weird. But a couple days later, I felt okay. I felt fine. And I go just walking on it, walking around, no big deal. Then about a month later, I did it again. And I was like, okay, this is kind of weird, but I'll be okay because I'm smart, you know. And I just wore a brace for a while, and then about 6 months later, I do it again with the brace on. I'm like, okay, I should probably go get this checked out, I guess. And the whole time, for some reason, I didn't tell my mom what was going on. I guess I just was like, I'm fine. It's no big deal. But if you ever, like, hurt your knee, just tell your mom, I guess, is the moral of that story. but anyway, end up going to the doctor, and he looks at me and he goes, I don't know what you did, but your ACL has been torn for 8 months. And he said, your meniscus just got torn. And I'm like, oh boy. He's like, you're going to have surgery. I was like, well, that's fun. But I had surgery, and I was like, you know what? There's got to be a message in this somewhere. And that's what I'm preaching today. Hallelujah. But no, wounded but not defeated. Because you see, we probably all have dealt with wounds in our life. Maybe you're dealing with some right now. Physical, emotional, spiritual. But can I tell somebody today that God does not want you to live with those wounds? He does not want you to live defined by those things that we put on ourselves. I believe there's three stages to a wound. First, of course, you have the cause of the wound. Others' experiences and sometimes our actions can all cause wounds in our life. Life comes with pain. We've all experienced it, whether it be the passing of a loved one, hurtful words someone spoke to us. Life comes with wounds. We probably have all been in a place where an experience or something has caused us hurt or pain. Because the reality is, we're all human. And we can all cause pain. But the problem is, a lot of us are walking around with wounds that we allow to define us. But I want to tell somebody today that you are not defined by the wounds in your life, but you are defined by God. It doesn't matter the hurt or pain you've experienced in your life, because sometimes, what's the verse say? We had to take off, Brother Kilman, the chains and the yoke that we put upon ourselves, because sometimes we allow wounds in our life that have been from an outside source, or sometimes even self-inflicted wounds, to define how we act, to define how we talk, to define how we go about our day-to-day life. Sometimes we might end up like that prodigal son in the pigsty, because you see, he was in that pigsty thinking there was no hope to get back to where he had been before. But oh, when he got to the Father's house, the Father came out running and to meet him. I don't know if anybody in here knows a lot about Jewish customs, but Brother Kilman, correct me if I'm wrong, but they wore a long tunic, right, back in the day, and they weren't supposed to really show their thighs, right? We shouldn't do that anyway. But, amen. But this man, this father runs out, right? And I don't know exactly how all their garments work, but I assume if he was running, his tunic was getting a little high there. You know? Little undignifiable, right? But you see, that father ran out to meet his son, not caring about anything else that was going on, because he saw that his son had come home and finally realized that he did not have to stay where he was in that pigsty, but he could come home to a loving, embracing father who did not care about what anybody else thought, but just cared about the salvation of his son. The wounds inflicted on you by others don't have control over your life. Because of your pain is not what defines you, but it's the choices you make on how to deal with it that defines you. Because life, like I said, comes with pain. But when we're in the middle of a situation, it's how we deal with it that matters. Because we shouldn't get comfortable with where we are. We shouldn't be satisfied with the norm. We shouldn't be satisfied with where we're at. We should constantly have the mindset of seeking the face of God, of wanting something more. Because you see, when we allow ourselves to be defined by our pain and get in that mindset of, this is what I deserve. This is where I belong. This is where I'm at right now, and there's no hope or a way out, then we are gonna miss out on what God has for our lives. Because you are not defined by the pain, your past, or the wounds in your life, but you are a child called out by God, and you are defined by Him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I've told this story before. If you were at Live, I've told this story. But this story just speaks to me every time I remember it and I think about it, because it constantly challenges me. You know, they were out doing outreach one day downtown, the Urban Missions Club, and people, they were out there, and they're going to start that up, and they do outreach every week. If you want to be a part of that, it's a great opportunity. It's a great thing to really get out there and witness to people. But they were out there one day, and they came across this man. We'll call him Dave today. And you see, Dave, he had this problem. He had a little bit of a withered hand. And he was holding it up like this, and he came up to them. He saw they were witnessing to people, and they said, Dave, they began to talk with him about Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus, and they said, Dave, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal you today? And Dave said, I believe God can heal me today. And so they began to pray, and they prayed for a little bit, and were seeking the face of God, calling on the name of Jesus, because we know there's power in that name. And his hand began to get a little better. But you see, once his hand got a little bit better, you just saw Dave's eyes widen up. You know, he was excited. He'd never been able to do this before with his hand. They were like, Dave, we believe God can completely heal you. Let's pray some more. They began to pray some more, and his hand got a little better even still. He began to move it. But all of a sudden, Dave said those words. He said, man, this is awesome. This is incredible. Excited out of his mind. But he walked away saying, wow, I can deal with this. I can deal with this. Dave walked away with, I don't even know if you could call it a partial miracle. I don't know what you could call it. But thinking he could just deal with this problem, because he had been that way all his life. He'd been that way all his life, carrying around just with that withered hand. And when it got a little bit better, he was like, wow, I can deal with this. But I want to tell somebody today that that is not the will of God for you, to just deal with your problems. It may get a little better, but God wants to get all the way better. He wants to take those problems, to take those situations and erase them from your life, because we have to be seeking the face of God, and we cannot allow ourselves to be defined by the past, to be defined by the wounds in our lives. In Jesus' name. But I have a question for somebody today. Might be a little pointed, but are you gonna praise God when he doesn't perform the miracle when you want him to, or if he doesn't even perform it at all? Because Getting to my next point, sometimes wounds are necessary for growth. Wounds are necessary for growth. There are wounds inflicted on us sometimes by outside sources, sometimes wounds we inflict on ourselves, but sometimes there are necessary wounds. The definition of a wound is an injury to living tissue caused by a cut, blow, or other impact, typically one in which the skin is cut or broken. And actually, my surgery that I had, the title of it was ACL reconstruction surgery. Okay? I knew there was a message in there somewhere. But no, I go to the doctor and they tell me that the ACL is not capable of healing on its own. So we have to do a little bit of reconstruction with some other tendons in your body to get that ACL back to where it was before. You see, the doctor had to make an incision on my knee to get to and fix the problem. Sometimes God allows necessary wounds in our life because without those wounds, we wouldn't be able to grow and go where God is wanting to take us. You see, God is like the surgeon holding the scalpel, and there are some things he has to cut out of our lives in order for us to grow. Because it's not God's will for you to be defined by your wounds, but there are some things that we put on ourselves that God has to say, no, that cannot be in your life if you want to be who I have called you to be. Brother Kilman, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one ever said it was going to be easy. No one ever said that it was going to be all rainbows and sunshine. Because in my Bible, there's martyrs. In my Bible, there's men who gave up everything to answer the call of God on their life. Men and women who said no to the world and yes to God. Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined. And will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Going through the fire isn't a pleasant thing, but like gold has to be refined through the fire, so do we. Sometimes God uses wounds and trials in our life to get out the impurities. Has anybody ever seen a lump of coal? Anybody ever seen a lump of coal? How many people know what happens when you apply a little pressure to a lump of coal? What does it become? It becomes a diamond. There's going to be pressure in your life. There's going to be pressure here at IBC. I mean, we've been here for a week and a half, and there's been a lot that's gone on. Maybe you'll be on a small group. Maybe you'll be in corral. Maybe you'll be involved in a club. Let me pause for a second and say, for those of you here who think there's no way to get involved in anything at the school, you're wrong, okay? So let me tell you that right now, you're wrong. There are so many ways to get involved, but it's how much you're willing to apply yourself that matters. That's just a little side note here. That's for anybody who wants that. But there's going to be pressure. But not all pressure is bad pressure. Some pressure, a lot of the times, is good pressure. Because what pressure does is it shapes. What pressure does is it molds. What pressure does is take that lump of coal and turns it into a diamond. The next time you feel overwhelmed by the things going on in your life, or maybe just because you're involved with so much at the school, think about this. Think about that pressure that's being applied to your life to make you into something that you weren't before. To make you into something greater than you were before. Because with God and when that pressure is applied, we can become who he has called us to be. Amen? But there's a second stage to every wound. There's the cause of the wound, whether it be self-inflicted, by an outside source, or maybe God has a necessary wound that he has placed on your life for growth. But no matter the wound, there's always the healing process. There's always the healing process. No matter what situation in life you may face, there will be a time of healing in God's timing. But I want to say, after a wound is treated properly, after a wound is treated properly, the healing process can begin. So the question is, what should our wounds be treated with? What should our wounds be treated with? Are you facing bitterness? Give it to God and allow him to help you show love. Are you facing depression? Now let me stop right here. Depression's a big issue today. It's not a joke. We were in youth class with Brother Barber just the other day, and he was talking about probably, you know, you have the juggernauts like pornography and issues, life in the home. But one of the biggest thing that not a lot of people are talking about is depression that young people deal with. And that's a real thing. It's not something to over, you know, exaggerate or dramatize, but that's brought on by the enemy. And the enemy likes to convince people that there's no hope of getting out of where they are. But are you facing depression? Give it to God and allow him to give you his everlasting joy. Are you having a hard time letting go of your anger? Give it to God and allow him to let his peace wash over you, because you see, you might have been wounded, but you are not defeated. You might have been wounded, but you are not defeated. But the problem is that too many people walk around with their wounds festering, not treating them or not knowing how to treat them properly. Because it can be easy sometimes when we experience hurt or pain to hold on to that, right? We know there's a problem. We know there's a wound, but there's these things we hold on to that we don't want to let go of. And that's what allows bitterness to creep in. That's what allows jealousy to creep in. We say things like, they didn't have to deal with what I had to deal with. If they had to deal with what I had to deal with, they wouldn't be where they are today. If they had my life, if they had my problem, they couldn't handle it. But can I tell somebody today, we're all called to ministry, and the call of God is not about your past or where you came from, but the call of God on your life is where he wants to take you and where he wants you to go and what he has called you to do. Because the call is not about you. The call is about the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Psalms 38:5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I want to tell somebody today that whatever wounds you are dealing with in your life, give it to God. Don't allow your wounds to fester and grow and become something way worse than what it started out as. Because when a wound is not treated properly, that's what it does, is it grows and becomes something way worse than it ever should have become. God did not allow you to be defined by the wounds in your life. But don't be afraid to give it to him or to talk. Give it to God and talk to the spiritual authority in your life about your wounds. And that's Brother Galleon. That's the staff here. That's your pastor. That's your parents. Those are the people that you talk to about those things. Anyway, God did not intend for you to be defined by those things. You know, I think a lot of times we say one of the greatest weapons of the enemy is isolation. But I would say I think one of the greatest weapons of the enemy is to convince you that you're isolated, that you're alone. It's like that poem we hear all the time, you know, the footsteps in the sand. The guy was walking, saw two sets of footprints, then all of a sudden he looks back, he sees one. Is what is his immediate reaction? To look God in the face and say, why did you leave me? And God says, no. I was carrying you through that time. We look at examples in the Bible. We look at Joseph, a man who was in the pit, a man who was forgotten in prison. But do you know what Joseph never did? What I read is there was never really a lot of doubt in Joseph's mind that God knew exactly what he was doing. Because you see, when Joseph was alone, when a lot of us would be in that position and think that we are isolated, listen, I've been there. I've been there here at IBC. You're surrounded by your friends. You're surrounded by people who love you. You're surrounded by the staff. And I can't explain it, but you feel all alone. And if we're not careful, it's easy to get there. But we look at Joseph in the Bible. When he was in a, if we were in that position, if I was in that position, I'd feel abandoned. I'd feel alone. But Joseph said, I trust God that he knows what he's doing. And God brought Joseph through that time and took him to a place he could have never imagined. We look at Daniel in the Bible, a man who was thrown into the pit of a lion's den for what? For praying to his God. But do you know what happened when Daniel was alone and instead of listening to the voices of doubt from the enemy, when he listened to the voice of God, God shut the mouth of those lions and God brought Daniel through that lion's den because when Daniel was isolated and alone, he trusted in God. But there's other examples in the Bible. These are great men of God, but again, we're all human. Elijah. He had just faced down the prophets of Baal. He had just looked them in the face and said, your God is not God, my God is God, and watch what he can do. And God did a miracle. But what happens when Elijah's life is threatened? He runs to a cave thinking he's abandoned. He's human. But when he got into that mindset, he got into a dangerous place. Because he allowed the voices of doubt from the enemy to creep in and convince him that he was all alone and that the nation of Israel was doomed. But at the end of the day, he realized the power of God. But we look at David in Ziklag. David, a man after God's own heart, but felt isolated and alone. He knew the anointing of God was on his life. He knew he was going to be king. But in that moment, being pursued by Saul, where David was, he acted insane. He acted crazy to convince the king that he was no harm to them and that he didn't have to kill him because there was a moment of doubt in his life. Because when we're alone, when we're isolated, we have a choice. We can either listen to because it's not that the enemy isolates us. It's that when God is trying to take us somewhere, the enemy tries to come in and convince us that we are all alone, that there's no hope, that no one cares about you, that no one loves you, that those wounds in your life are just something you have to deal with and accept. But when we trust in God in those times, when we don't listen to those voices of doubt, maybe it's the fact that God wants you to get alone with him and realize something he is trying to do in your life. Realize that maybe you just need to pray a little bit more, read your Bible a little bit more, and devote to him a little bit more, and just see what God is going to do. Because when that pressure is applied, something great can come out of it. When Jacob was alone in the desert and he wrestled with that angel is when he got his new name. When he said, I'm in this place alone by myself, but I'm going to get my blessing. I'm going to get what God has for me because Jacob realized he was not just alone in that desert, but God was with him. Jesus' ministry started 40 days after he was alone by himself in the desert. After he was consecrating himself and preparing what he knew he had to do. I've told this story before, but my grandpa had this journal that he wrote in. It's crazy how we got it. It was crazy how it came upon back to our family. I didn't even know he had this journal. But one day at his funeral, a lady at Calvary who had found it at a flea market, realized who it was, and gave it to Sister Rodenbush, and she gave it to my mom. But I began to read this journal. And it was sermon notes, it was things he had written down, thoughts he had written down. But then I looked at the dates that this journal was written. And I knew my grandpa, during his life, he went through a time, I don't even know if I could do it. But he was married to a lady before my grandma, and she was for 7 years. She was pregnant with their first child. And in childbirth, she passed away, and a couple of days later, the baby passed away. Then in that same week, three of his brothers died in a car accident due to a collision with a drunk driver. I couldn't even imagine what it was like during that time. But I read this journal, and I was like, there's got to be something in here that he wrote about those times. And I began to look. He had to go, like, there's got to be something. And all I found was this statement. When we are in a trial in what seems to be the hardest times in our lives, will we walk where the majority walks or trust in God, knowing he will see us through? Because when we trust in God in the difficult, in the hard times, he will see you through. He will deliver you. He will bring you out. It doesn't matter the problem. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter what the enemy has tried to convince you in your mind. God can bring you out. Because, you see, the enemy fears your obedience. We look at David and Saul again. Brother Kilman, we talked about it in former prophets. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Because of his obedience to God. Sure, he had his faults. Sure, he had his flaws. But he was obedient to what God had and what God commanded him to do. And Saul was not. The enemy, hear me out now for just a second. The enemy does not fear your praise. He fears your persistence. The enemy doesn't fear your faith. He fears your faithfulness. What I mean by that is it doesn't matter the words. I can say what I think you want to hear. I can even tell God what I think he wants to hear. But at the end of the day, what matters is that persistence and that faithfulness in my walk with God. What matters at the end of the day, am I living a life according to his word? Am I living a life according to his purpose? Because you see, I can shout, I can dance all I want to. But at the end of the day, am I consecrating myself in prayer? Am I consecrating myself and devotion to God? Because that is what matters. And that is what matters. In Jesus' name, am I magnifying God, Alex? Am I taking those things in my life and realizing how big my God is over my problems and situations? Or am I just going through the motions? Sister Gallion, if you would please come. I'm not quite finished yet. But I was thinking, I was going through this whole thing. I kind of knew what I wanted to preach. Brother, I talked to Brother Guyon about this. There was some cool illustration I saw. I was like, I want to use that. God checked me in my heart a little bit about my motives behind that. And then this morning, I was just listening to some music. And there was a group, and they did this song on a little bit of a reprise. And I heard it. And I was like, I forgot about that. I was like, because you see, the enemy likes to convince people that they are alone in their struggle. He wants you to think you are the only one with those kinds of wounds and that you can't tell anybody about them. But that's not true, because we all deal with wounds. You see, it doesn't matter the wound that has been inflicted on you, because we serve a God who heals all wounds. Psalms 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Once you truly realize that is when the healing process can begin. I just want to sing this song for a minute. If you want to stand and worship, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. But I just want to sing this song.
My praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster bath. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my hair and dry them with my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster bath. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair.
You see, that woman did not walk in there. She walked in there a sinner. She walked in there condemned by the others in that place. But Jesus said, woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. That didn't mean she walked back to the lifestyle she had before. But that means she walked out of there a new person, a new creature. Because Jesus forgave her sins. But there's one more part to a wound in closing. You see, another part of the wound is after the healing process has taken place, sometimes it leaves a scar. And sometimes I have a big scar on my knee. Not going to show you, that'd be a little inappropriate. But sometimes scars are pretty noticeable. A lot of people's initial reaction to scars is to hide them. But I want to tell somebody today, don't be afraid or ashamed of your scars. What scars represent is healing. Because you see where a scar is, yes, that means there was a wound there, but that also means that wound is healed. Scars aren't always pretty, but they are a testimony. You don't know how your scars could affect someone else. Maybe someone is dealing with a wound that has been inflicted on them, but they see how you have been brought through it and how you have not allowed yourself to be defined by that wound. They see that scar and that wound is healed. 2 Corinthians 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You've probably heard this verse preached before, but let's think about this. You see, what Paul's writing here is they dealt with some problems. They dealt with some issues. Are you telling me that Paul had a hard time in ministry? Paul, the greatest missionary to ever walk the face of the earth? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Paul dealt with these problems, and some of us have dealt with problems in our life. But can I tell somebody something? You're still here. You are still here. Some people have already walked away, dealing with far less than what you've had to deal with. We pray for them, but you are still here. What convinced Thomas that Jesus was really risen from the dead? We like to give him a hard time, call him Doubting Thomas, right? But I believe Thomas just really wanted to know if that was the God that he had served all this time. And when Jesus said, Thomas, feel my nail-scarred hands. Feel the piercing in my side. That's what convinced Thomas was Jesus' scars of the cross. Jesus endured the pain and suffering of the cross and the scars that were left by those wounds so we don't have to. You see, Jesus took the wounds that should have been inflicted on us. God does not want you to live defined by your wounds or by your scars, ashamed of them. He wants you to live free. Sure, trials are gonna come. Sure, things We're going to be faced with pressure. We're going to be faced with things. Sometimes there are going to be necessary wounds in our life. But give it to God and allow that healing process to begin. The healing process isn't always pleasant, but it is always necessary. Getting to heaven will require some sacrifice. The question is, are we willing to make it? I think it would be appropriate right now if we just all found a place to pray. For just a little bit. And just to really just give it to God. We want to be rooted. We want to be built up. We want to be established in the faith. But Jesus does not want us to continue living with open wounds. Give it to God. Give it to God.
Like gold from Mary. angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair.
On-campus students at Indiana Bible College have the opportunity to study in three major areas: biblical studies, missiology, and worship studies. If you or someone you know is interested in any one of these three areas, we encourage you to check out www.indianabiblecollege.org. On the website, you can find answers to all of your most frequently asked questions, but if the answer is not there, fill out the form in the Contact Us section, and we will be happy to get the answer for you. Good news for all you listeners out there who would love to continue your education with Indiana Bible College, but simply can't make the trip to Indianapolis to do so. The Indiana Bible College Distance Learning Program is now accepting students who would like to continue their education, complete a degree, or just get an advanced certificate of studies. For more information on this and more about the Distance Learning Program, visit www.ibcdl.com.